The Red Eye Report has t-shirts, tank tops, and pop sockets for sale on our website, theredeyereport.com. Shirts are $19.99 and pop sockets are $14.99. RER merch is shipped through Amazon and is eligible for Prime shipping. So if you need a new shirt or a way to stand your damn phone up, consider snagging some cool RER gear. Thanks for supporting the show.
So are you gonna all do right. It live, or what are we doing
tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on the Red Eye Report? We're gonna get down and dirty in the Dust Bowl, and I'm of course here with the usual suspects. We got Mud Lungs Mystic,
Mud Lungs
Tumbleweed Teddy, Okie Dokie Oracle.
That's why I said Okie Dokie earlier.
And Cow Holocaust Ashtray. And this is the Red Eye Report.
Somebody's been playing Diablo.
Okie Dokie Oracle.
All them relate into.
I don't even understand that one. I guess.
Well, Okies are part of.
I gotta say,
are they from Muskogee?
Just for giving us nicknames during the intro, that's kind of lazy. And you played it off Roku. Yeah. Nobody has noticed it, but you know.
Part of it too is Ashtray did his homework. He's got 4 pages of notes. You know how he can ramble. So
fuck
I got rushed.
That's why I brought the Switch. Go, baby!
The Dust Bowl lasted. It was a period of dust storms in the Great Plains region of the United States. There was a big storms in 1934, 36, and then from 1939 to 1940.
No.
And over time, basically, it was centered right at the panhandle of Oklahoma. Like that strip of land was just like. The entire time was always in the Dust Bowl.
So it was literally just fucking so dry. Like there was no condensation or no precipitation or what?
Well, there was a drought.
Okay.
As I'm trying to explain. what happened is there was the Homesteading Act. Government was like, hey, we'll like give you this land if you go out there and actually farm it. World War One came, right? There was like a huge need for food. And so these people went out there and planted wheat because it was super easy. And the soil, all it was buffalo grass. The thing is, though, buffalo grass had evolved over thousands of years to actually be the one grass that could handle all the winds of the Great Plains. So instead, you know, I really goddamn buffalo grass, till that shit up and turned it into wheat fields. Yeah, the first, you know, like 5 to 7 years were great. But then, and like they just did that thing like farmers do. It's like, oh, when times are good and it's like a really good price per crop, you make as much as you can, right? But then when the crop price goes down, well, what's your solution? Well, you just got to make more of the crop to make up for it, right? But when the price is good, you're making as much as you can anyways. It's just like, you know, you're always going for getting as much as you can. That fucked the land up. And then there was this, like, decade drought that basically, part of it, too, was this is the mechanization of tills and tractors. So all this land, there's no way without tractors that all this land could have been tilled up the old-fashioned way, you know, a fucking horse or an ox and a plow. But now gasoline tractors were cheap enough that farmers could afford them or rent them. They tore the fucking soil up and everybody planted wheat. And, you know, I've probably heard of, like, crop rotation. That's because you don't want to plant the same crop in the same field every year. The soil just gets drained and it doesn't get rejuvenated at all. These farmers are dumb. They didn't know that. Not so much that they were dumb, but it was actually just very easy for them to make a lot of money for little investment. They also had plenty of these, they called them suitcase farmers. They were dandies from the city, as they were called. they would show up, basically. They'd claim land through this Homesteader Act, and then they would pay someone else to actually plant the land and harvest the wheat. And so a lot of people from the city, like Chicago and stuff, would just, they ride a train out, and there were even like organized tours to get these rich people who got money, like, to just buy up land and then pay some poor bastards to do it. So then, of course, the Great Depression comes. And for the first, like, 2 years after the stock market crash, the people living out there on the Great Plains, like, they didn't really feel it because the wheat prices were still good. And they were just kind of like, oh, whatever, stupid Wall Street. not thinking it would actually affect them. But, of course, it did, because the entire, like, agricultural, like, boom faltered with the collapse of the stock market crash. So anyways, we go into the Dust Bowls actually start in 1932. They would get 7,000 to 8,000 feet high up in the air. They just picked up, so it was so dry, and this soil, because the buffalo grass was, you know, it evolved over thousands of years to actually pack moisture down low. So like under about 8 to 12 inches of soil, there'd be this dense, moist land. And that was because of the root system of the buffalo grass. Well, they tore that fucking shit up. Yeah, sure, it was good land. But then when there was no rain for it, it just all turned into dust. And like you see those pictures from way back then, they're like, these clouds would just, they would hit, and it you'd be swallowed in, you know, some, like, it's like a sandblasting fog, I guess. They said the static electricity would be so intense that, like, they would, if you're going to your car, you know, like in the winter, you get fucking shocked by your car door. They said you get shocked
when, and like, wow, I can't find
about
it.
Six inches away from your car door.
It's annoying.
Damn.
That's how far the electrical shock would arc. And then also people would, they would install steel chains in their car. They'd literally just like have a chain that to, you know, connected to the ground of their car, and they would drag it behind them during the dust storms. Like, if a dust storm was coming, they would, because it would actually fry, like, the, it would fuck with the spark plugs and everything, like, for as basic as old cars were back then. They had to drive with this chain to keep themselves grounded when driving through these storms. Then we had fucking tumbleweeds. Yeah, right? So tumbleweeds, which were, I think it was actually, it's known as like Russian bluegrass or something like that. Anyways, fucking tumbleweeds, they roll along in these windstorms and they get caught up in the fence line.
I get a laugh every time I see them in Red Dead Redemption.
And, but the thing is, the tumbleweeds get caught up in the fence lines. And, you know, if you've got, you know, 400 acres, it's hard to stay on top of that. But those, they then basically create like a mesh that the sand, when the dust storms come, it's like a snow drift to where but it's, instead of snow, it's sand. And then the farmers who weren't necessarily wheat farmers, this dust, so like, they would, the drifts of sand would be like bridges for the cows. They're just like, oh, look at this shit. Walking on out, you know, and we're going to move it on over here. And so that caused like a huge problem with, not only that, is the cattle had nothing to eat.
They could eat the dust. Then
you got to bring up that video, the rabbit one.
Okay.
Because this shit's crazy. Like, I could see how this could warp you as a kid, and these people they were interviewing kind of sounded like,
I want to see this.
Well, it's not like super graphic, but like it shows like the reality of just how super graphic. You got to see how many rabbits. It looks like it's like a movie. Like, oh, sure, they just put these rabbits all in a box or something. There's like, no, there's just that many fucking rabbits. So the rabbits went, jackrabbits went nuts. And because what the farmers had done, oh, they killed all the coyotes. Well, there's no fucking coyotes. The rabbit always gets away. So look how many fucking rabbits there were. And so they came for whatever land the farmer managed to be able to grow crops on during this drought. The rabbits just came in and just ate it all because it's like, oh, fuck, you know, food. So they would have rabbit drives, they called them. And it would be like a Sunday picnic, 50 to 100 families. Think about the number, you know, like, you know, so it's hundreds of people come to a farm and they make a semicircle and they drive all the rabbits into the center of that semicircle. And then they go in with clubs and they would kill them by the thousands.
Damn.
Literally.
Oh my God.
If you watch, yeah, like as this little clip goes, it will start to show the pile. And these guys are saying, like,
Christ, that's a lot of people.
You would be
make war on rabbits.
You would be, you know, rabbits. Like, this is kind of like what the duty was like. The only way they try to do population control. Here's a starting to, well, I got a delay, Jesus, but the, they literally just clubbed them until they got exhausted, and then other kids would come in, and it would be like a day long affair. Wow. And now this one guy was like,
did you do your shift at the rabbit festival?
This one guy was interviewed and he was like, I did it once and that was enough for me. Like he's like, I'm still haunted by the, cause I've heard rabbits, you know, like do like a scream, like a woman when they're hurt.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. So
well, like, have y'all seen us, right? When we eating rabbits live, you can hear him fucking the rabbit screaming in the room.
Yeah. But still.
Oh man.
Well, so yeah, like imagine being a kid and you're taken because you know, I hope they at least they should have turned them all into jerky.
I was gonna say, how much did they? I would have fucking sent people to start skinning them.
Well, they just showed them they were skinning them there after they were dead.
You're gonna fucking kill them.
I'm sure they made do with them. You know, back then, like the Depression era, you know, they
always rabbit stew.
I'm sure they did, yeah, get a meal out of them. So after the rabbit drives, we had in May 9th, there was a big fuck off dust cloud that took 350 million tons of dust across the states of Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. In Chicago alone, this statistic needs a drink, 12 million pounds of dirt dust fell in Chicago. At the time, it broke down to 4 pounds of dust for every citizen of the city of Chicago that they had to deal with. I remember my grandmother saying that there was a time where, like the Dust Bowl wasn't hitting here in Wisconsin, but you would have days where all of a sudden, like, all your windowsills and stuff were covered with a certain the color of sand. And especially the states that were hit all east of the Great Plains, they could, like, tell what based on the color of the dirt, you could tell what state it was blowing into your state. So Roosevelt was elected, you know, cause the whole country's going into the fucking, Great Depression, mind you. They got all these fucking cows and they can't even like, it's hard. It's barely to feed them. They're actually feeding them thistles. These like kids were talking about how they had to stomp the spikes off the thistles so cows could eat them and not be hurt. And this is a kid having to stomp thistles for a living.
Hoop and stick, I guess.
Yeah. So.
You're getting beat by your fucking dad.
Yeah.
So Roosevelt would
die of syphilis on
his little road tours. Rode around and visited the poor people. And he started a program where the government bought up the excess cattle. And it was like any cattle that were good enough to be turned to meat, they were sent to slaughter. And then that was given to poor. It was like a government program for poor people. They just took the meat from those cows they bought. And then like the worst cows were or like ones they wouldn't like not good enough to slaughter or worth slaughtering were given like a dollar a head. But they would what they had to do is these families in the worst affected areas, they'd have a government people would show up and they bring a bulldozer and they would bulldoze a big trench. And then they would have like some cowboys rustle the cattle up and move them towards that trench. And so they all got sucked down in this trench. And then, you know, like a dozen guys with rifles just start taking them out. Like, you know, the fucking, the Germans did, I guess this was before, Germany's, the Germans might've been doing it right around the same time, 35. I don't know. Or maybe certain, I can't remember, but,
where do you think they got the idea?
Yeah, right. So that's why I called it a cow holocaust, because these families had to watch. The thing is, the government paid for these cattle, but then they're like, well, this is what we're doing with them. Like, we're putting them all down, and we're burying them. So they would just slaughter them all in these ditches, cover them. Yeah, well, they like necessarily make all of them watch, but these kids, like, where else are you going to go in these little shanty, you know, house, and it's a flat plains. There's nowhere to hide. It's just like, it's going on outside. Around this same time too, the suicide became the new fad.
Okay. Fad means it was cool, all right.
Well,
all the socialites were doing.
I mean,
yes.
Listening to how life was at this time, it might have been.
Well, the thing is, like, you're living as a farmer, especially if you're renting. Or, you know, you have a mortgage payment on this land and you can't make any crops. This whole Homesteader Act encouraged them, come out here, you know, you'll make a real living. And they did for the first, you know, 5 to 10 years. So then it's just like the year after year, they couldn't make any money to even, you know, pay their mortgage basically. But so, yeah, suicide became the fashionable new thing to get out of the fucking desperate plight they were in. There is a story actually of a 13-year-old boy who was worried about that his parents wouldn't be able to afford the cost of his school books, and he committed suicide.
Wow.
And not burden them. And also, it was a lot of people who couldn't pay their loans because a lot of these were stubborn. People who had come to New York from Europe with nothing, you know, and the Homesteader Act was like moving these poor people out to, you know, populate, these new states and this new land. They would get sick, basically they smothered in dirt. And some of these dust storms were so bad that like people would on the way from church trying to get home walking. They'd get lost because sometimes you could just see like no more than 2 or 3 feet in front of you. And they would, they wouldn't find them until the next day, and they had suffocated from dirt and then got buried. So dust masks, like today now, kind of face masks was like, that was a bigger fashion statement than suicide. Once you sign up for that one, you know, you need a mask, but, the dust pneumonia basically was affecting everyone. And the kids like out in the country, they were treated with kerosene and lard. Basically they would,
that's some science, yep, right there.
They would take their cough syrup was just like some sugar, watered down sugar with some drops of kerosene. And, they also, you know, like instead of Vicks Vapor Rub, you know what they used?
Turpentine. Just set them on fire. Turpentine
on their chest.
Might as well.
Jesus.
Fucking light it up.
I mean, at least the kid got high as he's fucking, you know,
yeah, right? No shit.
God damn, man. How the fuck did they get out of this shit?
Well, the So like the families, especially the poor ones, they ended up like just having to move often. And the thing is, the problem was like there. So there's these government programs, but this is also a lot of, you know, proud farmers who did not want to admit. You know, we have that up here in the Midwest too, where it's like you don't want to admit that you need government help, so you won't. And there are, you know, a lot of families who get into fights because the man of the house, who's supposed to be the farmer and providing, did not want to take any government help. And the wife is like, we've got kids who are starving. Problem, though, is back then the newspapers would actually print your name in the newspaper if you were receiving government aid.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Holy like, shit. Really?
Imagine the social shame. Yeah.
That I mean, yeah, that'd be, I mean, why did they, do you know why they did that? Or just to be assholes? I mean,
well, you know, like back then, also, you gotta think that's like the Hearst era of newspapers, right? You know, like the rules weren't, there weren't kind of standards back then. And I'm sure that was a way, like, because, like, of course,
some
everybody,
form of shaming.
Everybody, you know, who didn't like Roosevelt were mostly like rich people. And yeah, like, man, when you listen to some of those speeches, realize it's amazing how, like, for as amazing as Roosevelt was, like, with connecting with the people, like, he'd never be able to do it today because there's no way he could hide the fact that he's fucking crippled. So, and he actually, you know, started these programs. There was this civilian conservation corps to try to help address this problem, because not only the states where the soil got turned into dust and there was no rain, but all the states east of them, their agriculture, like their fields, even though their soil was fine, their crops would get covered in dust, suffocate, you know, like from the sun.
Hey, Minnesota, keep that shit over there, faggots.
Exactly. So they
trying to fucking grow some soybeans.
217 million trees to create windbreaks in the Great Plains. And then
that's what I thought the grass was when you first described it. How you said it held moisture. It probably also broke the wind a slight amount.
The wind was always a factor. But the thing too was that just the way the root system was, like, it held density and moisture even in drought times to
That
the soil didn't get so dried out and fine, because that's really all it was just so fucking dry that the dirt turned to powder.
They overcooked it, man.
Yeah,
they fucking overcooked it, bro.
They white peopled some chicken.
Oh yeah, so like Roosevelt, you know, they commissioned like a documentary about what had happened, and of course it had offended all the rural people because it basically was like, we, you know, over tilled the fuck out of this, and they're like, no, it wasn't us. Yeah. It's the climate.
Blame everything
so
else.
They created the Soil Conservation Service.
Sounds legit. That's
kind of like a, you know, a side factor of the WPA back then, where, like, you know, mind you, now Roosevelt is dealing with the entire country being in the fucking shitter prior to the war economy. And so the Soil Conservation Corps, what they did is they studied different, like, new agricultural techniques and how to make, you know, crop rotation and the best way to till soil so that it reduces, you know, like, so that the rainwater will, you know, just sink into the ground instead of like channeling down and flooding out a valley. So they would go around and like start little farms to try to teach these the farmers like the new ways. And over time, they did make progress, and there were actual farmers who were like doing the right thing, but it'd be the farm next door would be one of those suitcase farmers. He wasn't there. He came out maybe on the weekends. Like, he ain't doing shit, and his soil's all dry and it's blowing over on my farm where I finally got something to grow. They actually started, like, there was this paradox. These farmers who don't want any government help, right? they're all of a sudden like, we need to do fucking martial law and shut these people down and take their fields, you know, and fix this problem. So they kind of had those, almost those privileges. They started these soil conservation districts where, like in these sectors, and kind of on consensus of what they were going to grow in the local area, well, you know, like the farmers who are connected to it, you know, they basically as a group, you know, oh God, is that socialist? They decided what, how they were going to deal with the land, and they would actually either find, or just the government would outright take the land from people who were suitcase farmers. So they invested a lot, like in the land. They just, the government bought a lot of land back, and they would just do these programs where they replanted the original like buffalo grass. To, you know, get the soil to hold. And eventually the in like by 1940, the drought, because there was definitely was affected by the weather. I mean, the farmers weren't wrong in that. But they also were farming in a very kind of like easy, greedy way to make like the most money with the least amount of investment, and then they just, you know, ended up fucking themselves. It ended up, so the, that once the drought finally ended, and with these government programs, they, that like, that's, I guess, what ended the Dust Bowl. The dust storms just finally stopped as the more and more fields, like they were able to reduce it significantly with these programs. But 30 to 40% of the population in these areas all moved. There's just like, there's nothing we can do. Especially if you're running out on debt. And this is where the Grapes of Wrath came from, novel. It was all these people traveling to California. And they say it was actually like, it's one of the biggest folk migrations in U.S. history. Yet, like, you know, it's not revered like the Oregon Trail. It, like, the Oregon Trail is like a minute number of people compared to how many people traveled. But because it was in the Depression era, it's like no one wants to talk about it. Everybody was ashamed. But these are what they were termed Okies, like Okie from Muskogee, were all these people who landed in California. And they had, like, instead of, like, Hoovervilles, they were Okievilles. And they could tell, like, if you were someone from the, you know, Plains area with your accent and stuff, that there were actually even signs that said, Okies and niggers upstairs only.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, they looked weird with the black folk. They must have hated the motherfuckers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They
damn, I mean, to be, I mean, yeah. You just want to say niggas on air. That's all. It's fine. You good?
In context.
It's the only reason. It's the only reason Quentin Tarantino makes movies.
Okay? Right.
So just so you say nigga till he dies.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, they ended up So the Grapes of Wrath came from Steinbeck. He wasn't actually following it. He kind of like he took the stories from this one. Reporter who was following these, and she kind of sucked for her because she, like, Steinbeck came out with his book. She shared some of her stories with him, and he also went down. He did go down himself and like spend the day like interviewing and meeting all these people in these Okievilles. And he, yeah, I mean, he got outraged, and he even said like, "I'm gonna blow a lid off this fucking place." And so before the like the woman reporter who invited him out there, she didn't have her like her book ready before Steinbeck like pounded out the Grapes of Wrath, and bam, it got published already. And so all the publishers were like, we can't have two books about the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression. Like, nope, there isn't room for it. So she didn't get her book published till like 2004.
2004,
like a year or two before her death.
Do you think it could also be because she was a woman, also?
Oh, for sure. I'm sure that's definitely a factor in it.
Was she still alive in 2004?
It was, yeah. It was like a couple of years before her death. Literally, like, wow. Yeah, she's an old fucking lady.
Wow.
she had written other stuff too, don't mind you. Like she had, you know, like that. She was a reporter and an author. So it just ended up like that manuscript and that all that work, that firsthand experience, had to be put on the shelf because no publisher wanted to compete with The Grapes of Wrath.
I ain't touching that shit, bitch.
Yeah, right. So yeah, and that kind of like, and then yeah, all these Okies got, you know, kicked, or they sent out to California. And then it kind of, you know, the Dust Bowl ends when the drought stopped, and then you know, these Okieville's and stuff went away once the war.
So with all this dust around, when it finally did start raining, did they have problems with mudslides or anything like that, or was a problem with
there was I mean, that it didn't say. Part of it too, though, was like some of this, a lot of work was done before they got back to any like real sustainable rains. So it, because of the government effort. So I didn't say too much about like mudslides, but for the thing of mud, I remember was the mud lung, they called it, was like, because when they would cough with their dust pneumonia, it instead of, you know, like green phlegm, it'd be brown mud phlegm.
Yeah,
tasty.
Yep, nasty. Yep. So that's a fucking Dust Bowl.
Boom,
ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, that shit.
Look at that ashtray. Kept it in 30 minutes.
I know, right? That shit was fucking like the toilet went. The toilet went along for like 45 minutes. It was torture.
That was actually like professional.
That's what happens when you do your homework, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to move along to our What Sexy Oracle. Pluto TV. Oh, I think I know what this is.
Got the new TV. So I've been kind of checking some new shit out. And I'm not... I don't have cable. I've been watching some more shows like on Netflix. But this thing has... This TV has integrated apps in it. It's got Android TV. Yep. And... I was just fucking around with it because it's got like Spotify on there and, you know, all my Hulu, Prime, shit like that. And one of them, like a popular app, was this thing called Pluto TV. So I'm like, I feel like I've heard of this before. What the fuck is this? So I open it up and it's basically like, if you had cable TV from like 1985 to 2001.
Yeah, kind
of. And it's fucking awesome. Like, I've been watching American Gladiators.
It's all free.
Yeah, it's all fucking free. I mean, it's got TV commercials, just like, but way less TV commercials than Hulu has.
Normal. Yeah.
Like, fucking Hulu is ridiculous with commercials.
Yeah, I pay for it, so I don't have the commercials.
Yeah, it's fucking horseshit.
Yeah.
But it's just like regular fucking terrible ass, you know.
Well, yeah. And their commercial breaks cut like exactly where you're watching. Like I've noticed anyways, they do like a little backup.
Yeah.
So it isn't like, even though it does interrupt, you don't feel lost, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that intrusive. Sometimes it's not always like a proper, you know, scene break.
But for a free... fucking service. I mean, there's a shit ton of channels, and they have fucking. I was watching kickboxing the other night. They've got, you know, like all kinds of sports channels. Mm-hmm. Fucking tons of trash ass TV, reality TV shows.
Bail Army has a channel on there.
They've got like fucking movie channels, like a lot of older movies and stuff like that. But if you're somebody that, like for me, that's the type of TV show that I want to watch. I don't give a fuck about like whatever's hot. Like the thing I, you know, if I want to watch something, if I want to watch Ozark or whatever, I'm going to watch that on Netflix. But in terms of like, hey, I just want to see what's on TV. Give me some trash ass TV like that. Give me some fucking weird, you know, documentary.
Kind of have something. It on in the background.
Yeah. I'm not that fucking invested.
Yeah, because so, you can't choose it. Free. It's still like every channel is kind of live on its own.
It's live on its own. They do have like an on-demand thing, but I think that's pretty limited compared. And honestly, I like live television way more than on-demand.
Just like scrolling through it.
Yeah, just scrolling through and be like, oh, what the fuck is this? Hi, oh, watch the Addams Family.
Right? They have a Riff Tracks channel as part of Pluto.
So it's free. It's surprisingly really fucking good for a free service, a free app. So check it out, Pluto TV. I'm sure you could get the app on your phone. Otherwise, if you have, they probably have a website or whatever. Otherwise, if your TV has apps and shit, you can download it on there.
That was, you remember when I sent you pictures? I'm like, what the fuck? When was this movie? Christina Ricci, like as a dead woman, and Liam Neeson was like the mortuary guy. The embalmer who like could talk to dead people, and I just like no idea about this movie. But yeah, it was on that Pluto TV, like one of their horror channels. Like, oh, there's naked Christina Ricci. So well, it's uncensored too.
That's always a treat.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
All right, moving along. Mystic Hot Ones.
Ashtray. Yeah. So anyway, this show is it's been around for about 5 years. It says it's had 11 seasons, but I think it's like, you know, fucking they do 8 episodes in the fall and 8 in the spring. But anyway, it's basically just celebrities come on here and eat hot wings. There's 10 hot wings, each with an increasing amount of heat. So it starts off with like your basic, you know, mild wing or whatever at right around 1600 Scoville. Huh?
I was like, haven't you done this as a what sexy before?
No, I don't think so. But it's been around forever, probably. But I've never seen it before. And I just
really? No shit.
Yeah.
You didn't know about this before. I thought it was just like maybe a memorable episode.
No. I've only seen like 4 or 5, but they're funny as fuck. And they seem really good because the questions are actually really in depth. They're not just like fucking, you know, like, hey, fucking, I want to suck your dick about your new movie. Whatever. You
know? I am a like, fucking,
yeah, dude. He's,
he gets a lot of big name people.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it is kind of surprising, like, how many big name guys he can get on.
I wonder what he started with.
Will Smith, Tenacious D. He had a fucking Charlize Theron and fucking Seth Rogen on there.
Well, yeah. That's the thing is like
Paul Rudd.
Or it's kind of like it's part of the culture right now, only because it's like late night makes jokes referencing hot ones.
Hmm. I don't watch anything like that, though.
Well, yeah, you know, that's your problem.
I'm stuck in the trailer park, boy. I'm stuck in Sunnyvale Trailer Park.
Right?
And I don't care about their fucking culture. I just think it's a good fucking show to
watch.
Gotta
have your pulse on it, motherfucker. Well, all of a sudden, you're this assholes. Guy talking about hot
fuck
ones.
Fuck them assholes. I don't give a fuck, dude.
I know you don't give a fuck, but I'm going to tell you why I thought.
They got a fucking... Anyway, they have a game show coming out, too, on True TV. You can watch the first 4 episodes.
Shit,
yeah. Yeah, it's like 2 teams of 2 people, and you fucking... And it's just like the, you know, he asks you questions, like trivia questions.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because if it's just like eating shit, like...
No, it's like you have to answer trivia questions like with increasing heat and these fucking things. And I don't know if you guys have ever tried super hot wings.
No. Oh,
God, yeah. It's
the hottest I've ever tried is probably around 400,000 on the Scoville.
400,000?
Yeah. But the ones that they're eating, like the hottest one they eat on hot ones is 2 million.
2 million?
Yeah. There's at my job, this guy brought a concentrate of a million Scoville fucking shit. And I like spicy food. I don't mind. So he bought it because his brother, every time he takes food home, his brother eats it. So he's going to spike it with his million Scoville shit.
So they fucking awesome.
And so, but they were like these guys, the guys who bought it and shit, the guy who bought it and the other people that work with me, they don't like spicy food. So they just hit the toothpick in it and it was too much for him. So they made some salsa and they spiked it with a few drops of that shit. and they gave it and they gave it to people in restaurant. I didn't know about it
until
they
gave it to people in the restaurant.
Right, and everybody and it went out well, the employees and shit, and everybody was freaking out. I'm like, it's good, it's spicy, but it's good. But
I mean, so basically, if you water it down in a big thing of salsa, it's probably a good
It's actually
That's the problem is like that shit. I don't even know
what the Scovilles. I mean, fuck that. That's fucked up.
Whatever that term is,
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a jalapeno is 10,000 Scovilles.
What I mean, I know.
Yeah, jalapeno is 10,000 Scovilles. Yeah, so that's how you base off.
My brother loves eating hot stuff, and my grandfather too. I mean, he raised us that way of eating hot shit. But it's almost kind of where it's like my brother and my grandpa too. To be honest. It's like where you wonder, it's like, are you just showing off? Or do you really like it this fucking hot? Like,
I'll raise my father's gumbo. It'd make a man out of you.
It hurts
coming out six times more than it does.
I love having that kind of like nose drip. I get, you know, 3 stars.
I hate that. That's too much.
Yeah, the nose drip is too much. Yeah,
I get 3 stars for my, you know, my Thai food. But some of those hot sauces is just like,
well, yeah, and the Trevor Noah, he did. Trevor Noah did one, and that's you could tell that man grew up eating some spicy ass South African food.
Yeah,
because he was like 7 or 8 in, and he was like, "Yeah, that's good. Like, you could really accent the chicken. Like, he's not even really hitting him and shit. Like, the last 2 or 3 really did, but like before that, he was just like, yeah, he didn't drink anything. Fucking rarefied air. Didn't have anything to drink the whole fucking time. Anyway, that's it. Whatever. It's just a cool show. Fuck all you assholes.
What sexy Teddy Grant?
So on History Channel, they have a 3-part docuseries on Ulysses S. Grant. It starts off from when he's a kid to for when he going to be president. There he goes. This was I haven't seen the first one. I watched part 2 and 3. Because I don't really give a shit about it.
And you don't think alcoholics can achieve something?
Well, he did.
They
stopped
were
drinking.
All alcoholics.
He stopped drinking
back
when
then,
when he got back in the army. But it was very, it was extremely informative. I like docuseries anyway. And it was
this is on the History Channel.
On the History Channel. So if you have well, you don't have cable, so I don't know how you're gonna watch it. Maybe go to internet or something.
Hey, if it isn't on Pluto TV, it doesn't exist to me.
it's very, very informative. One of the coolest things I learned from it was that after the war and when they're doing Reconstruction and everything else, they're trying to figure out what to do with the 4 million slaves that were freed. The men got to vote, and in the South, in that first year of voting in the South, a lot of black people were voted into that state Congress and sent to fucking national Congress. And that's when the Klan kind of started developing and everything else and fucking with the niggas. And he actually quelled the first Klan thing. He sent the army down, declared martial law and took care of the motherfuckers.
Root them boys out.
Yeah. Root them boys out. So I mean, it was very informative. I mean, the battle tactics, some of the things he did in the battle were awesome. Like, he never fucking retreated. It was crazy. This motherfucker, like, yeah, we're not running.
That's pretty dumb. I mean, I get that like he was lucky, but if he had never retreated and he died the first fucking time, nobody would ever know anything about it. You know what I mean? That. Like, there's just
I get that. Well, dumb, but we're watching. But now we're watching a docuseries about 200.
Also, you compare it to like the Ken Burns one, like I'm sure there's some parts where it's like the army had to fucking retreat because the Confederates had whooped the Union.
Right. Lee was fucking people up, but that was on the eastern theater. He was on the western at first. Grant was on the western theater fucking people up, and then he moved to the eastern theater and he started confronting Lee. And they did battles. Him and Lee did battles to where they didn't. It was a stalemate for a few days, and usually when it was a stalemate a few days, one of the armies was like, okay, fuck it, we're gonna move on and go somewhere else. But he didn't do that. He was like, kept going south.
So is this a small or like just a couple episodes, or is it
3 episodes?
Okay,
3 episodes, about 2 hours long. And I mean, it's like when they went to sign the surrender at Appomattox. Grant had an American Indian on his fucking as part of his generals or whatever, and he had the Native American write up the fucking shit in front of fucking in front of Lee because he knew he's a racist fuck.
That's great.
Yeah.
What's funny is that house, there's something to do, like, the guy who owned that house where they decided to do the surrender, he owned a piece of property in some other state that, like, during one of the first exchanges, you know, the fucking, they're having a war right on his farm property. And he's like, fuck this shit, you know, like, and decides to move. And then it turned, so it was kind of like he was at the very forefront of the war, and then they also decided to have his house be the like, end of it. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, why did I have to fucking go?
Exactly.
Get just pissed off. So, man, ooh, to like, fucking Canada.
Right. All right. Hey, move along.
I wasn't done.
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was don't cut me off again, bitch. Yes, okay, now I'm done.
Great. All right. Moving along to myself. Twitter drops a little hint on baby Trump, where
that is great.
He puts this, you know, stuff out about Joe Scarborough possibly being involved in, was it one of his aides that she had like a heart thing? And well, what this part of it started was Joe Scarborough, the host of Morning Joe, was, I can't remember, a congressman or a senator at the time. And he wasn't even there in the area. Like, he was in D.C., and she was back at, like, his home state office or something. She had some heart. Anyway, she had, like, a heart attack or something like that to where she passed out, and she wanged her head so hard she died.
Wanged her head?
Well, you know, like, when you hit the countertop, your head then. depends on how deep the gash is, whether it's a wicked bang, bang. Or a wang.
Wicked bang.
Right, that's what you tell the emergency room. Wang
the fucking head right on that fucking step right there.
That's what you tell the emergency room when your spouse is looking you in the eyes. Just real bad wang. I just
fell, bitch.
She fell down some stairs.
She must have forgot, but she fell down some stairs.
But it's also and fuck.
Wait, what does he say he did? I've heard about this. Oh. Like, what does he say, Joe Scarborough? Is he saying he killed the bitch? Or
he's basically just saying that, like, doesn't somebody find that suspicious that she just happened to have a heart attack and fall? Like, maybe he's involved. You know, he's just like, he's throwing stupid dirt at Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough wasn't even there. So the spouse of this dead aide was like making a public plea to Twitter to please take down the president's tweets. But, you know, Twitter's just in this position where it's like, you know, if the president, it's also, you know, like, you'd never take a president's tweet down in the sense because, like, everything a president says should be made document. Like, that's law, I think, part of the Constitution or something. But they've never before, like, put a footnote to be like, hey, do you want to find out real information on shit? Because, yeah, this motherfucker's just throwing out real fucking slander.
Yeah.
And so they put footnotes, and then, Zuckerberg, he's like, oh, I don't agree with Twitter's thoughts because I don't own them. And that, you know, Facebook doesn't want to be the arbiters of truth. And the CEO of Twitter was like, we're not trying to be the arbiters of truth. That's why we put this link of, like, here is what the fact checkers say. We didn't take his tweet down. You know, and Trump's like, it's censorship, blah, blah, blah. His tweet's still there. They put a footnote. And boy.
Absolutely fucking flag somebody's post and prevent it from being posted.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But then, Zuckerberg must have some. Yeah, he must have
probably getting paid by some Russian oligarchs.
Right, or he's got a foot in the door through the Trump agency. Wasn't there some secret meeting where he had dinner with Trump or something?
I don't fucking know.
All right. Anyways, moving along.
It doesn't matter
if his
tweet was taken down or not. His people are so dug in. Jesus Christ. Right. God could come down.
But it's just another thing he can cry about. Jesus and Christ, he's now made some executive
Twitter
order.
Did that to troll a narcissist. That was the only reason. And I think it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Moving along. Fuck what you think. Oracle, HDR.
Moving along.
What's HDR?
HDR is high dynamic range or something. It has to do with the fucking lighting. My fuck what you think with this is HDR can look fantastic. It can look amazing.
It looks better than HDR 10.
This is a game graphic.
HDR 10. So it's a setting that a TV has.
It's on your TV.
Yeah, it's on your TV. So right now, the only systems that can do it are the PS4 Pro or the Xbox One X. And when it's done right, it looks phenomenal. It is a more lifelike lighting. And it really, when you turn on standard def in the game and you look at that, you're just like, we're going to be doing HDR. But for some reason, some games haven't like figured out how to fucking use it properly. And shit is like all wonked out and fucked up. And it's like, okay, you motherfuckers have got, you've had like 5 years to figure this out. Get your shit together. Like fucking standardize your shit. So this game doesn't, you know, this game will look brilliant. It'll look fucking amazing. And then you play another game like Red Dead for a long time had fucked up HDR. Red Dead Redemption 2. And they got a lot of fucking shit for that. And this game, you know, is like a washed out piece of shit.
I've learned that it has to do with publishers. Like all Ubisoft games, all the newer Assassin's Creeds from Origins on up, they use it, and it seems to do with publishers, and the games.
Some people have fucking got it, you know, and it looks fantastic. Like I'm playing Last of Us, the remaster, which came out.
That game is fucking creepy.
5 years ago, maybe even longer than that. The original came out like 10 years ago. And the fucking HDR looks fantastic. You know, it's gorgeous. And then you can play another game. And it's just like, what the fuck is this shit? And you're having to do like all this crazy shit with settings and stuff.
Oh man, you love doing that though.
That's my jam, man. It is my jam. It is my addiction to fuck with settings. But
then you're like, damn, my addiction is not letting me play the game.
Do you punch anybody that tries to touch your radio in your car? The fuck are you thinking, bro?
Yeah, I'd love to turn your balance right all the way over to the right.
Fucking touch the dial. I will fucking drive us off a cliff. And fucking kill both of us. Touch that fucking dial. I just hope that with these new systems, they have a fucking standardized thing, because that's the thing. This is the problem. This is the reason why this is a problem in my brain, because I know how good this shit can look. So until I get it to look that good, I need to fuck with the settings. I have fucking documents with individualized settings for fucking different.
That is
fucking,
no shit.
And you fuck with me for having magic cards. Really? Really? Really?
Yeah, that's pretty fucking nerdy.
So,
color correction and stuff like that. Screen is so. It's a science.
You have an Xbox One X, right?
Oracle? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have the Bugs game on yours? The Bugs. The Xbox One X, it came has a game, but it's like an app or a little thing where it's bugs in a flower field, ladybugs, other kind of bugs, and you can zoom out, and you can you should download it. It's actually pretty cool. You can turn, it'll show you what it looks like, HDR off, HDR on, and shit, and different kind of lighting dynamics on and off. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a little video loop that plays around, and you can fuck around with it, you can zoom in and stuff with the flowers, and it's really cool when you're really high.
Yeah, that's I mean. All.
just to see the resolution difference on the screen like that.
Because the new system, HDR is great, but that's going to be the next level when they do the ray tracing shit. Because that's
what's
where the light
the
is.
New level? What's
so, ray tracing? Ray tracing is ray tracing. Realistic lighting. And it's fucking crazy.
You seen it? But you I need hope a they TV have this that shit. Can support it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Obviously.
But.
Damn.
No.
Well, no, you don't need a
little 7-inch Trini Trizzle.
You just need a fucking a system. You're gonna want something that is HDR capable. So you're gonna want a 4K.
But your TV has to be HDR capable too. Is what he's asking?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You need 4K. Your TV has to match what your video game hardware.
Well,
to put out.
You're gonna need. You're gonna want a 4K HDR TV for the new systems. Absolutely.
Because the TV you have, I'm actually getting that downstairs in my.
Aren't they doing 8Ks now?
Well, these systems are actually capable of doing 8K, even though.
But even though no games are in 8K.
Yeah, they're not going to fucking do it.
Just kind of.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember it was like it's artificial, like 180p.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, yeah, it's like when the Xbox 360 came out, the hardware was so. Was actually so advanced that none of the developers were could keep up with or max out the system or console, and it's the same way with this fucking the new one coming out. They say it's 8K, but nobody's even making or anywhere near making 8K games.
Those games are fucking massive.
Good for them. Give them something to work for.
Well,
all right, moving along.
I'm gonna get 2 or 3 years.
Moving along.
Hey, fuck you. Get to talk all the goddamn time. Shut the fuck up.
It's my episode. Mystic Trump's Twitter divorce.
Hoop and stick.
So I think it's funny that a day after they started fucking putting up little cliff notes on his tweets that all of a sudden he has an executive order. I don't even know what the executive order did. It doesn't matter. I don't think he knows or cares what it did. It's all an optics thing. He has to be the tough guy that regulated Twitter because they were fucking censoring conservatives. Yeah, conservative rally cry.
Isn't it like an investigation? Like, we were going to investigate you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's people are so goddamn stupid. Like Jesus, God, like I said, God can come down and run for president, which he's probably his run mate, and they would still vote for Trump. All right, these people are.
I get it. It's fun to watch. Sit back and watch. We're witnessing. Yes, it is. We're witnessing the unraveling of a human being in front of us.
Right. No. But you're also witnessing the unraveling of a country that is backing this country. This problem.
We're all dead anyway.
But if you keep your lens just on if you keep your lens just on him, it is hilarious.
It is. It's super fucking funny.
Because it's like
an orange 78-year-old clown runs the fucking biggest military in the world. You can't write that. That's Comedy Central.
That would be pretty amazing if he did dress up like a clown.
He walked right into he got a golden goose with the economy and stuff when he won office.
Yeah.
You know, he was like riding on that shit for 3 years now. About time.
Oh, and when he starts doing his rallies for being reelected, which they're gonna tell him not the whole rallies because of COVID, but he's still gonna do it because of God and shit. He's still gonna be talking about the goddamn wall, right?
And, well, and hey, that's gonna do it. I'm gonna expect to watch him die too.
Needs to make a COVID wall.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along. Ashtray, sexy fantasy gone wrong. Actually, wrong address. So, this is in Australia.
I told you by using Grindr, bro.
A man in Australia, a man woke up 6 in the morning, go use the bathroom, and he heard a noise in his kitchen or whatever, noticed the light on. And he figured it was, I guess he just has friends who sometimes drunkenly come over and pass out in his property. And he's like, fuck off, it's too early. And then a stranger's voice was like, are you Kevin? And the guy was like, what? And he had his sleep apnea mask on. He had to rip it off. And he wakes up to two men around his bed, standing around him holding machetes.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Right? And they say, what's your name?
I'm not Kevin. I'm not Kevin, bro. Kevin.
What's your name? And he's like, he told them they're not even sharing what his real name was, but are you sure you're not Kevin? And like, we were told to come pick up Kevin. And the man's like, no, no, I'm not Kevin. And then they like, you know, no one named Kevin lived at the address. Let's see here. So the men were just like, well, sorry, mate. Bye. And so like this guy must have reported him or something, you know, like they didn't do anything to him. But turns out it was like the guy, it was this like random, like Craigslist kind of like for $5,000. These two guys agreed to tie up this man that they had never met on the internet. And they were going to rub his underwear with a broom. Like tie him up and rub his underwear with a broom. And the problem was they had the address wrong. Like the guy who like made this deal.
Why do they have machetes then?
Yeah, what the fuck does machetes have to do with this?
Yeah, that's the part. It's like, so, yeah, they're, let's see here, what did they say?
Yeah, explain that shit to the cops.
They say here, the defense, they carried machetes either as props or something to use in a fantasy. The fantasy was unscripted, and there was discretion as to how it would be carried out. They basically, what this is, the court found them not guilty because, like, basically they were trying to be faced with a crime for getting the wrong address, like, because they didn't, and that's the thing, is, like, the machetes were kind of, like, what they picked, like, on the fly to, like, well, we're supposed to come over and tie this person up, like, it's, you know, that's why the door was unlocked, like they thought, because...
$5,000 to so this, have like, somebody rub your
this guy
with a broom.
Yeah, what yep. the fuck?
The sexual role.
Where
play,
was this?
Australia.
Australia. And the court though found that they were enough. Not guilty. And the judge even said they were very polite to the victim.
they had the ghost of Johnny Cochran as their lawyer.
Yeah. So yeah, they ended up having the wrong address. I don't know if he ever actually got to the right address, if they like went right from there and just like and then went to the right address and did it, you know? That'd be awesome if that's how it played out. That's my fuck what you think. Gonna move along to Teddy.
That is the weirdest story I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a weird fucking story.
You imagine waking up, I would fucking piss myself.
Yeah, you can murder them.
Yeah, he's got his gun on him right now.
He's lucky he didn't have a gun.
And he's at home doing a show. Where's your gun at?
No, for real, though. They're lucky that somebody didn't have...
I mean, really, why do you need to have it on right now? You motherfucker. See? Yeah. This is the problem. White people with fucking guns.
Right? They have them, and they forget to have them on them.
I get it. You're at home right now. He's such a gun. Oh,
but what if...
I don't know if fucking dudes with machetes are going to come in here with a fucking broom.
Exactly, man.
Break-ins that you have at your in that area that you live in, in that tiny white surrounding community. None, goddamn it.
It's like a tool you want to make sure you have when you need it, because you need it right away.
Whatever.
Every time you do.
Fuck ever. Let's keep it going.
Since it's COVID shit, I've had mine out of the case and loaded.
Teddy's jealous.
I'm not jealous. Yeah. I'm just upset at the fact that I feel like I have to get a gun because so many crazy fucking white people around me have a gun.
All right.
I mean, really, like, I don't get
it. American way.
White people, man, we're the worst.
You have to admit, y'all are the worst. It is the American way, unfortunately. People want to get rid of guns, but it's never going to happen.
At least I'm on the winning side of something.
If you don't like it, you can move out. All right, moving along. Teddy, God damn it, Karen.
Yeah, more white crack and shit. All right, so this chick, I'm pretty sure y'all seen the video, it went viral. This chick, she had a dog in the park in a part of the Central Park where dogs are supposed to be on a leash because people bird watch and the dogs scare the birds away and everything else. A brother who sounds whiter than I do, asked her to put her dog on a leash. She finally did it. He was videotaping her, and because he would not stop videotaping her, this bitch called the cops and said that he was threatening her life and her dog's life. And then she put a little extra shit on it at the end and started crying more and said, "Please come." The dog says her dog has been taken away. Somebody identified her. She's been fired. I get that, but this bitch needs to be arrested. The NYPD kill niggas every day. And if they had taken that call seriously, any nigga come out of that park would have been fucked up, right? Yeah. And they arrested Jesse Smollett for fucking for faking for saying he got beat up. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this bitch put, she didn't just put his life in danger. She put a lot of niggas in New York's life in danger. And this bitch needs to be arrested because that is some fucked up shit.
Juicy Smollett.
Yeah, Juicy. Oh, Juicy.
Whatever happened Smollett? With that guy, the situation? Probably still pending.
Yeah, no, they gonna put that. They gonna put that nigga in jail.
Good better.
Yeah. Oh, wasting that time. But yeah, she didn't just put his life in danger. She put a lot of other motherfuckers in danger.
Yeah,
I read an
article. It was actually two former dog walkers of hers. That's how they found out who she was, because it went viral, and they live at these two different dog walkers who actually like knew each other. I don't know if they have some dog walker, you know, commune, but they were like, yep, we've worked for her before. And they decided, like, you know, they said, like, she wasn't a terrible customer, but there's always something off with her. And they're like, we can't just, like, let this go by. Like, you can't just say this shit without paying the consequences. So, yeah, wherever she adopted it from 2 years prior.
Yeah,
wherever she adopted it
from 2 years prior. Yeah, they taught her, yo, because a lot of people.
Surrendered it.
Here's another thing. More people had a problem with the way she was holding the dog back because the dog didn't want to move. She see, like, it's like kind of like saddle dog or squat on dog, whatever. Right. More people had a problem with that than the fact that she called the cops and told her that a black male was threatening her life.
Yep.
When he was just sitting there on the table. And then, I mean, that shit blows my goddamn mind.
Yeah. Gotta send out like a beatdown squad.
Crazy crackers just walking around with guns and they want me to fuck that.
With a bicycle helmet. A black guy with a bicycle helmet.
I mean, really. Do you wonder why I'm worried?
How non-threatening do you have to get? He's got dog treats with him. Come on. Actually, I loved his reasoning for carrying dog treats is because, you know, you're not supposed to have a dog off leash in this area where the ground-dwelling birds can have nests. And he said he always carries treats because if people come around without a leashed dog, what he does is he pulls out a treat to feed the dog. And he's like, people then are like, oh, don't feed my dog. And then they put their leash on their dogs. So their dog doesn't go up to strangers.
Don't feed my dog. Yeah, I'm gonna give him I'd sit there and just coat every fucking treat I had into a shit ton of chocolate. Just shit ton of chocolate.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Put some raisins.
Look, you can't. Not I mean, you gotta do raisins, but you know, you gotta suffer. I mean, you just can't process chocolate, you know. He dies. You know?
Oh, yeah. She's gonna have to change. You know, like, she's gonna be someone, you know, there's a number of those people who've had their, like, lives wrecked because they did something fucking completely stupid and asinine and wrong, and it went viral. But she's gonna have to change her fucking name.
I mean, people know her name and shit, but there's
did
a lot
you hear
of
also the
name.
History that she had sued a former coworker.
No, I don't care about that. But the fact that she had a mask on her face, you can only see her eyes, is going to help her a lot.
I know, as a black man, you don't care about this, but this also goes to show part of the character's past is that she sued her former co-worker, saying that he was her ex-lover, married ex-lover.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with what happened.
Money. It was all fraud. I know. It just paints her as an even more person to
demean. That's the same thing like saying when the cops shoot a black dude, like, yeah, but 2 weeks ago he got caught with weed on him. That doesn't matter with what happened. So I don't see why that even should be relevant.
Wonder what Fat Mary's up to.
Bitch is crazy. I wonder what Fat Mary's up to, especially in these hard times, you know.
Are we done? Are we just bitching at each other here? What are we doing?
So, Jesus Christ, go play Red Dead. God damn it.
Fuck yourself, Mitch McConnell's turkey neck.
You didn't look at the name for it?
Yeah, we're going to be here every Thursday night, maybe Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Central. Like, make sure you join the conversation at theredeyereport.com or facebook.com/redeyereport. You can also twiddle us, but I don't think there's anything happens when you do that now. Like us, share us, or fuck us, because we're down for whatever.
Okay. We've definitely got cliff notes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Did you say your name? I missed
it. No, he didn't. I am the Astro. You talked over me.
I'm Oracle.
I already did it. Get
Teddy.
Get fucked.
Dude, the fuck you, man.
Did you just say dick fucks?
He didn't say dick fucks. He didn't say dick fucks. Well, I might be on a PlayStation tonight.
You want it?
Do what you want.
I said it.
when I want.
I say what I said. Fight me.
Damn. All right. Did everybody say their names? Are we done?
God damn it. This is the Red Art Report.
I don't know, man.
Jesus Christ.